Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
One of the most astonishing discoveries in science in 2011 was that a subatomic particle called a neutrino can travel faster than the speed of light. What that basically means, aside from totally upending Einstein's special theory of relativity, is that these particles can arrive somewhere before they left, or perhaps before we can acknowledge that they left. That, in turn, opens the door to all kinds of amazing things, such as time travel. But the implications of this are so astonishing that even the physicists who discovered this tried to prove they had made a mistake. But as hard as they tried, they couldn't. The speed of the neutrino was always faster than the speed of light. Not only that, testing from other groups has failed to refute the neutrino's speed either. A comment about this discovery that impressed me deeply was one by theoretical physicist Matthew Strasser, who referred to it as a doorway into something fundamental and deep we don't know about nature. Naturally, I had to think about that in terms of animal behavior and the human-animal bond. We set up this whole system of physics based on the fact that nothing moved faster than the speed of light. And using those rules, scientists were able to do some amazing things. And these resulted in products that we use every day of our lives. These were rules that, in many ways, made our lives today possible. But it was founded on a myth, the myth that nothing moves faster than the speed of light. So it worked. I mean, who can doubt it? It worked up to a point. So it was one of those cases where the way the game was set up, the rules said that it could not be true, not that it wasn't true. I think the same thing happens relative to animal cognition. There are still a lot of people out there who want to believe that human beings have cornered the market on cognition and emotion. They want to hang on to that as being uniquely ours. The rules of their game say that humans are a superior being and that only they can do this and only they can do that. For years and years, they used to just dismiss birds totally because rules of this human game was that the same parts of the brain had to be involved in the same mental functions in order for them to be real. And because the avian brain isn't identical to the mammalian brain, they could not experience this. Even in the mammalian brain, as we daily get more information about how the brain works as a whole, rather than this area being solely responsible for this function and that area being solely responsible for another, some people still cling to these old ideas. Because of this, there's this bizarre emperor's new clothes feeling about attributing cognition to animals. We do mind-body studies on animals first before we test them in humans. In humans, we use the results to prove a link between emotion and physiology, at the same time that we deny that the animals used in the first studies have emotions. So what will happen one day when somebody produces that irrefutable proof and says, well, this is cognition? They know. They think. They emote. Will that too introduce us to something that is so fundamental to nature that it will change the way we look at the world around us? I hope so. And I hope I'm here to see it when it happens.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.